Welcome to The Love Drive. It's a show about sex, love, and everything in between. If it has to do with your heart or your genitals, we're talking about it. It's raw, explicit, and playful. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Sean Galanos, and for the very first episode of The Love Drive podcast, I'm thrilled to be joined by Ellie McDonald, a talented writer, actor, and comedian here in Montreal. I saw her perform stand-up a couple times, and what I really loved about her is that she doesn't shy away from talking about the messier sides of love. Her comedy is raw, authentic, and right up my alley. We had an amazing conversation, and I'm proud to say that we covered quite the spectrum, from what rough sex feels like for men and women, to how to be honest in early-stage dating, how to lovingly hold men accountable, what it means to be a cock-loving feminist, and so much more. As you've probably already guessed, this show is quite possibly not safe for work or children. You should also know that we're going to be dropping into this episode quite abruptly. So if conversation about rough sex right off the bat makes you uncomfortable, well, you've been warned. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. I have vagina envy for sure. I would have like, sex. I would.
It's so good. I can't imagine that fucking with a dick could be better than fucking with a getting fucked. I can't imagine.
You think it's better to get fucked than to fuck? Yeah. I just want to have multiple orgasms. I would want to get like slammed.
Oh, that's honestly, people are like, oh, like nothing for me can take the place of getting fucking railed.
Yeah.
There's just nothing like it.
Yeah. Here's my issue with railing. My stamina just goes like way down. I'm just going to come way quicker than like normal penetration.
Yeah, which is fine. Like for me, when I want to get railed, there's only so much of that I can
take. Okay,
so
I guess that's my question is like, how much railing can you handle?
Give me like a good 5.
Okay. That's doable.
Maybe 10 if we're having like a really good night. You know what I mean? But that's like,
just straight railing though. We're not talking about like the rest of the.
Yeah, no, this is just like.
Yeah, just yeah. Pounding. Okay. This is going to be the intro to the podcast.
Yeah, good. Yeah, but no, I mean, that's like a high intensity, like cardio.
Yeah, thing. Hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interval training.
Yeah. So no, I have no expectation, especially at this age too. Like people need to be realistic. We're in our 30s. Nobody's going to fucking rail anybody for an hour. Nobody's going to rail anybody for half an hour.
Full railing. There's no way. There's no way.
And again, if somebody's like got a good dick, especially like I'm not a huge lady. Like
you're going to get bruises.
Right.
Wait, where does, I think I know, but. Where feels amazing when you're getting railed?
Okay, so
are we talking like lips, pubis, like inside?
Oh, inside. I don't come during sex. Men, it's just not a thing.
Well, that's yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
No, and don't be like, well, I gotta do it. Like.
I was just gonna agree that like, yeah, most women don't. So
yeah, no, but even like guys going down, it's like exhausting. It's exhausting for me. Like I don't. That's the thing. I don't fuck to come. I fuck to get railed.
Uh huh. Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
I just love that motto.
But it's true because I want to come. I can do that for myself.
No problem.
Instantly.
Yeah. So where is this on your body? Where are the sensations when you're getting railed?
Just like in, like in, deep. In,
deep inside.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about penis head, like touching your cervix.
Sure.
That could be part of the pounding. It's not for, I mean, if you look at like the average penis length and then the average like depth of a vagina.
Yeah.
I just don't think they like match up.
No, that although often. Like honestly with even with like an average size dick, if you're doing it doggy style and if you're doing it right, like that's you're going to feel that.
Yeah, cuz doggy style I think there's like a shallower situation. There's like a pelvis tilt there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's angles. Also like are you really railing somebody in missionary position? Like
No,
you're not.
No, but you could be railing them with like their legs over your shoulders. That's another popular rail.
Yes.
Position.
Yes. So yeah, no, I mean, for me, it's the whole, like, it's like like, I like rough sex.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like everything. It's like the hair, it's the grabbing, it's like the slapping. So it's the whole, it's like the whole package.
Yeah, yeah.
Of getting railed.
Yeah, okay.
Because preferably it's not just like
jackhammer.
Pumping.
Yeah, jackhammer. There's other moves and or sensations.
Yeah. You know,
the whole experience.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, it's just like, God, I just want to feel something. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good way of feeling something.
Yeah. What about, what's it like for you?
For me? Well, for me, it's like, I can't really rail that long because, you know, men...
You don't need to explain penises to me. I'm just asking what railing feels like for you.
I mean, the feeling, like sensation wise, it's lower sensation.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. But the experience is fun because it's kind of taboo to have rough sex. Don't roll your eyes. That's like, what is going on? It's like there's rolling and then fluttering on top of the rolling.
Taboo. Like, if first of all, the fact that you're referring to getting railed as rough sex is like, give me a break.
Well, there.
Now, in this day
you
age,
don't know how I rail, maybe.
You're making, I 100% don't know how you rail.
You're making
maybe.
Yeah, but you're making some assumptions okay. about the kind of rough sex that I have.
Okay, you're right.
I can be pretty dominating.
Okay.
And it could feel and or look a lot like someone's in danger. Okay. Okay. So like that
might. I'm just picturing like a guy just like.
No. Like I like to be really close. To like my partner and it often if there's going to be like railing happening from behind, there's a good chance that my like the crook of my arm is around your neck.
Obvious.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, applying
some pressure on
applying
there.
Quite yeah. a bit of pressure. Yeah. So
a little bit of,
yeah. So taboo. I don't know. I just feel like,
I guess for a lot of people it might be,
I think so. I think that can be a little
I'm
bit
just desensitized.
Yeah. You're desensitized. You just want to feel something. I think that, a lot of people are just have like more vanilla sex and they're not used to men that can be dominating, but in a respectful way. Respectfully
right.
dominating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a fine edge.
It is a fine edge. And so, yes, it's a skill and it's an art form to be learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in my mid thirties and I'm having way less sex than I used to.
Me too. But it's by choice.
It is by choice, but I also wish I was having more sex.
Ugh.
But not.
I'm so tired of fucking.
Are you?
I
want to be having more good sex.
Right. Yeah. No, and I guess that's why I'm okay with not, because like I'd much rather just not be fucking.
Yeah.
Than to be having mediocre sex.
I'd rather be reading a book with
my dog.
I'd
rather be doing literally anything than having shitty sex.
Not anything.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I've yeah. had a lot of sex.
Yeah, no, so have I. We can collectively have had
all the sex,
more sex than most people.
Yes,
probably.
Yeah,
and some people are going to hear this and be like, "No, I want to have all the sex."
It's a double-edged sword.
I mean, I did enjoy having a lot of sex. There's no doubt about it.
Well, for me, the biggest benefit to having had all that sex is that I'm so focused now because I am entirely unconcerned with getting laid
right.
at this point in my life. So now I can just work.
Okay. I wish I had that. I just will find other ways to procrastinate.
Well, yeah. I mean, I also that, but it has drastically cut down on my procrastination.
It's true. I used to be obsessed with going on dates and having sex with people.
Right.
Obsessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would waste whole days instead of producing content or doing whatever I'm supposed to be doing. I'd waste days on OkCupid or Tinder or just fucking around.
Right. Yeah, me too. And also, and even now, it's just like for somebody to like get me out on a date and for me to set aside a whole evening.
Yeah.
Not to work or be with my kid or be with my friends. It's like that's like a great leap
yeah.
for me to actually take that gamble.
Yeah.
And I just don't. Do it.
Yeah, I don't do it very often. I went on a date a couple weeks ago, and it was, or maybe it was last week, and it was fine. That's it.
That's not good enough.
No,
that's
it's not.
Worth
it was
a whole
boring.
Fine is
it
was, not worth a whole evening.
It was fine. It was 2.5 hours that I could have been doing something else.
That's,
and then she was a perfectly nice person.
Right.
There just wasn't any chemistry. And how are you supposed to gauge chemistry from a like Tinder profile?
No, you can't. But the shitty thing is when you see somebody and it's like the second, like, cause I know right away. If it's a no, I know immediately.
In person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But then you can't just be like,
bye.
No. Yeah.
That's what we need. We need like a good way of doing that. That's respectful.
There is no, it's be a dick or don't. Like there's no.
Right. Or sit through a date for 2.5 hours and kind of wish you weren't there.
Which I've done. The last time I actually met people from dating apps, like 2 summers ago, it was 2 of those dates. And it was just like nice guys. Yeah. But like I knew instantly that it was, because I'm like, at this point I'm so picky too, it's like I know exactly what I don't want. There are still things that will always surprise me about what I do want.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of just like, and it's just, you just know, you feel it.
Yeah, I struggle with when I know that I'm not interested in somebody, like letting them know that I'm not interested in them. And I did that once right after a date. At the end of the date, I was like, hey, this was fun, but I don't really see a connection here. So, you know.
That's painful.
Yeah, that's what she said.
That's painful.
Yeah, she said that was unnecessary.
It was.
Because, yeah, I didn't know that. No, I know that now.
I get the impulse. It's just to be like, okay, let's be, because it's honest. Like, and that's the thing. I value honesty, so I get the impulse.
Yeah. She said that, you know, maybe we could have just co-ghosted each other. Maybe she didn't feel it either. And there was no need to just go out there and say
it. That's the thing. Did you really have to do it? Was it really necessary? If she had been like, oh, I really want it. Cause that's the thing. One of these dudes from a couple of years ago, and I was so obnoxious. I don't know why he wanted to see me again, but he did. And then
you have that je ne sais quoi, maybe.
No, je sais quoi.
it's a vagina.
but that was the sort of thing where he very clearly wanted to see me again. And that night, and this is the thing, I no longer drink. Like when I'm considering being with somebody, now I'm like, let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a safer way to gauge how you actually might feel about something.
Because alcohol is a disinhibitor.
Yeah.
It just makes you like people more.
Right. Yeah. And so anyway, and then the next morning, that night I was like, yeah, yeah. And then the next morning I woke up and like first thing I wrote to him and I was like, yeah, so.
About last night.
No. It's a no for me. I think I just said like, I'm not up for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm never cruel about it, but I'm clear enough that I get my point across.
Yeah. I just tell people that the connection that we have isn't the connection that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Cause then it like, you know, it like puts the onus on the connection, not on the actual person.
Right.
So the thing that we build together is just not what I'm.
Yeah. Which
into.
Is like a nice way of making it not personal, even though it's hard not to take it personally, but.
Because it's one of the most personal things.
Right. Right. Part of the reason I don't date is because so few people are capable of having that openness, like of just being blunt about it. People play games and like, I don't have the energy for any lack of clarity.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
in that sort of stuff. It's just like, yeah, to be able to just be like, yeah. No,
it's going to stop here
no,
for
thank
me.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's just really, it's hard to do. We're not taught to be that honest and that direct when it comes to personal relationships.
Right. But the shitty thing is, and like I've been on the other end of this where people haven't been honest with me. And it's like, there's this guise of sparing somebody's feelings, but it's an act of cowardice not to be honest. And it's
sure.
an act of kindness to tell somebody the truth, even if it's a shitty truth.
Yeah.
You can find a nice way to say a bad truth.
Also, my job isn't to protect your feelings, right?
Right.
So by not telling you what I think you don't want to hear, right? By not saying I don't want to see you again because I think that's going to hurt you. I don't actually know that that's how you're, that you that's going to hurt.
Right.
You.
It's patronizing, first of all.
It's presumptuous.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the other person can be like, I was totally down to not see you ever again.
Right. Or maybe they were down, but they're just mature and reasonable and are like, oh, this is a reality, and I accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to go on Tinder just to get matches, and then that would be the validation.
Definitely. And I do that a couple times a year. I'll get an account and I'll just like, I'll have like 24 hours of glory.
Right. And you just get a bunch of matches and then...
Right. But then it's so depressing.
It's a depressing... It's a roller coaster.
It's not even... Like, roller coasters are fun.
It's a really depressing roller coaster. I mean, there's ups and downs is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. But I mean, every time I get a dating app, I always have this idea in my head, like, oh, maybe at this very moment, there's somebody really unique who's just like at the end of the rope. And it's like, no, it's just the same kind of basic. And I mean, a lot of the guys, they're not bad guys. I mean, there are some bad guys and there's some stalkery. Don't stalk women. PSA.
Oh, yeah. Because it's really easy to find out who people are using Tinder, because you get their first name. And then especially if you look at some of their like interests, or if you're using Tinder to promote your other stuff,
right.
The comedians and like performers do that.
Right.
Or if you have a friend in common, you can just go and find that friend, then go on Facebook and search their friends. And there you are.
Right. Cause I've stopped, like when I do go on, I've stopped saying that I'm a comedian because it's too easy for people to stalk you. Like, that's the thing. Usually when I get rid of it, lately it's because guys are overstepping, rather than it's either that or I just get depressed.
Yeah.
Because I'm just so picky at this point.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, does nobody have dreams, you know, anymore? Like, I'll meet guys and I'm like, what are you into? They're like, watching documentaries. And I'm like, yeah, but like, what's your like giant semi-unrealistic goal?
Yeah.
No, I feel like people are just so content. Like, so many people are like, I'm just a simple guy. And I'm like, why would you broadcast that?
Some people like to be simple people and they're looking for a simple existence where they just have a partner and they eat meatloaf on Tuesdays and they...
I like meatloaf, but that's sad.
Some people don't want like an exciting existence. They're happy just... Going through it. I know it's not what I want, but it takes all sorts, I think. And some
right,
people
but it's seems to be a lot of that.
Maybe too much. I'm a simple guy.
Mostly that.
Maybe they think that that's what's going to attract somebody, instead of being flamboyant about your, you know, unattainable dream of being on Ellen. That's mine.
What do you want to get on there for? Like, anything?
No, to be like a sex educator.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And like help and like talk to young men, although that's obviously not Ellen's target market, but to just talk to young men about how to not be dick bags, basically. High five. And how to be, you know, masculine and a feminist.
Or, well, what masculinity actually looks like.
Yeah, it's okay to be respectful and be like, you know,
emotional, sensitive.
Yeah, and strong and virile and not a dick bag and treat people with respect and, you know, all that.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Mutually exclusive.
That's true. That's what I want to be on Ellen for. What's your semi unattainable dream?
I'm going to make TV. But it's not unattainable at all.
Okay. Well, perfect.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I don't know. But I mean, me like 3 years ago, like when I left my marriage, I was just like a husk. Like I had no confidence.
Yeah.
I wasn't performing. I hadn't performed. I hadn't done anything artistic really in like 8 years.
Yeah.
I hadn't done comedy. Like I was a pastry chef.
Yeah.
I was a sad, poor pastry chef.
And pastry chefs have fucked up hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard and the pay was shit.
Yeah.
And
you're surrounded by croissants.
I mean, that's why there's nothing bad about that.
Well, it depends if you're, that's the silver lining of the whole thing,
right.
Is that you're surrounded by croissants.
Yeah, at least.
But I find it very challenging if you're feeling shitty to also be surrounded by food that might not be great for you. Because what happens to me is that I end up eating a bunch of it and I end up feeling more shitty.
I mean, for me, like, I have body issues, I have food issues, but my mental health comes first and foremost, and often that just goes hand in hand with eating.
Oh, that's cool. I like that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it has to. It has to come first.
Yeah.
Because I remember being way more strict about how I ate and exercise, and I weighed like 15, 20 pounds less, and I was fucking miserable.
Yeah.
So I have that perspective of knowing that even if I decided, you know, to make that my focus, which frankly, I would rather write. I would rather spend the time that I'm spending on artistic endeavors, and then one day I'll be able to afford to eat better and, you know, have the time to exercise. But right now it's like, I'd rather use that time to focus on my career.
Yeah.
Because it's just, yeah, I don't know. I've spent and do spend so much of my life obsessing over my body. It's just like, I try not to be too hard on myself. Like, I look back, I'm like, oh my God, I looked so good. But I was absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
I was suicidal. So now I have a fat stomach, but I'm like really fulfilled. I'm happy. Like, I am happy for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Like, sure, I would love to lose like 15 pounds. And at some point I will, but right now is not the time. And I'm not going to fucking kill myself over it. But I mean, but again, like, I like to eat too. That's the other, maybe I won't. Maybe I will never lose that 15 pounds.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
That's totally fine.
Yeah. I got a good face. I got a nice ass. I can work with it.
Perfect. You also have quite the personality.
No, I have, honestly, like severe body issues that I need. But that's the thing. I need to work on that. Because I was, after I had my kid, I was 105 pounds. Like, my body was incredible because I had those giant mom boobs.
Yeah.
But I lost the weight like instantly. And I still hated my body. Like, it's totally mental. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter where you're going to be. It's when I get abs, I will still feel like I'm not where I want to be.
Right. And so, and that, to me, that's my life's work. Like, it took me almost 30 years to learn how to love myself and be confident.
Yeah.
Truly. And to be happy. And now I know that I feel like I can do almost essentially anything else, but loving my body,
yeah,
no matter what,
yeah,
that is going to be the hardest thing I will ever do.
Yeah.
And I know that. And it sucks. It sucks knowing that.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. I spend a lot of time thinking about it.
Yeah. I do the same thing. How often do you look at yourself in the mirror and be like, oh, I wish
constantly.
That.
Okay. All day, every day.
Do you ever like pull your shirt up?
All day, every day. Yes. Yes. When I say constant, yeah, it's not a hyperbole.
So there's a reason why I have like four mirrors in my house.
Did you see the first thing I did when I walked in? It wasn't like, hi, I'm normal. I went up to your mirror.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's there.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Also, it's possible that your life's work will be over sooner than you think. Like, there might come a point.
You're going to die.
Yeah. 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 You might die today. It is very cold outside.
Yeah.
As in, you might get to a point where you do accept your body faster than you think you're going to. It might not take your whole life.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because it's one of those things where I know that it needs to come from within, but it's also been affected so much by the way that men and women, actually, the way that in my adult life, the way that men have treated my body, but growing up, the way that I was socialized, but also in my family, the way that people viewed fat and the way that people viewed bodies. So it's just so much about unlearning that. And also about, like, I'm a lot more careful now about who I let in to my vagina and my life.
Right.
Because of that, because so many men have been so critical. And in ways that they don't even really think about. I made a video about it. I'll send it to you.
Okay. What are the things that they'll say or do that they might not be aware is actually just like devastating or doesn't feel good to you?
I had one. A lot of them were from the same guy. Like, he would say, we should go to the gym together.
Mm. That's like offering someone a piece of gum when they have bad breath.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, he's like, oh, it's for me. And he would talk about his own body.
Well, if it's for you, just fucking go.
Right. Right. Don't talk to me about it. So he would talk about his own, how fat he was and stuff like that.
Was he fat?
He wasn't fat. He wasn't like cut. But I mean, like, I loved his body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing too. It's like, I'm so concerned about people judging my body. But I mean, I feel like a lot of people are pretty reasonable about what people's bodies look like.
What real people's bodies look like.
Right.
And not like models and or porn stars.
Right. Yeah. So no, I mean, he had like an average body. It was fine. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Didn't need to be anything else than what it was.
No. But when he said that stuff and then he insisted that it wasn't about me, but I couldn't help but feel like it was.
Yeah.
And that whole relationship was awful, but that was a really good learning experience in terms of how I no longer allow myself to be spoken to.
Yeah.
Or treated. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy the way that people treat other people's bodies.
Yeah. Or just people in general.
Right.
I mean, people treat people, some people treat people really shittily. And sometimes you're going to accept that because there's a lack of self-esteem or a lack of self-confidence, yep, or a desire for validation, or you didn't have the role models growing up, yep, that showed you what a healthy, loving relationship looks like.
Right.
And where are we supposed to learn it? We're not learning it at school.
No.
We're not learning it in movies or in... Certainly not in pornography.
No. Well, not in most porn. Porn is getting better.
There's feminist porn.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to work in a porn store when I was like 18.
Oh, yeah.
There was no feminist porn.
No, but now is there feminist porn?
Yeah, yeah. Porn made by women, you know, which is obviously different.
Yeah.
than what you're used to.
Yeah. We talked last time we saw each other, we talked about being a feminist and still loving cock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you put those two together?
The thought that it has to be mutually exclusive is just silly.
Yeah.
Because the thing about feminism, historically, men have not been held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And such a big part for me, anyway, such a big part of being a feminist is holding men accountable.
Yeah.
And it's a very uncomfortable thing to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Particularly when it's never happened before.
Yeah.
It can feel like anger. And I mean, it is a lot of the time, I guess.
Yeah.
It's anger.
It can come out that way.
It can come out that way. But holding somebody accountable is an act of love. Holding somebody accountable is an act of caring. It's saying to them, I believe that you are capable of
more.
More.
Yeah.
And I know that you're better than this. I wish people understood that the anger, it's not coming from a place of hatred. It's coming from a place of extreme frustration.
Yeah.
It's coming from a place of just a lifetime. And I mean, I say this as like a white lady. Like I can't even begin to imagine the struggles that other people have. People of color, trans people, queer people,
yeah,
women who every single day, because most days of my life I deal with some form of misogyny.
Right.
You know, and so it builds up, and of course you're going to be angry,
yeah,
at a certain point, but to not say something, to not hold men accountable is to say, I don't think you can do any better than that.
Yeah. Or I just don't care to even have that conversation.
Or I don't care, but it's like everybody participates in the patriarchy and everybody participates in misogyny. But how does this get back to cock?
We're going to do it. We're going to bring it back.
No. We're going to bring it back. So basically it's, I love men. I love men. It's men are my kryptonite. Dick is my fucking kryptonite.
Yeah.
I wish so much that I didn't.
See, we brought it back. That was really easy.
But it's because I love men that I hold them accountable.
Yeah. There are some women that just have completely given up on trying to help men. They've just given up, and I totally understand.
Right.
Because it can be really painful to have to deal with this shit. Holding men accountable is not easy because men will react in all sorts of different ways.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, it's a natural impulse, I think, to be defensive or to say like, oh, it wasn't me. You must be talking about somebody else.
Yeah.
Or what I did wasn't as bad as what he did. But yeah, it's like, we're calling you out so we can call you in. It's not about just being dicks about it.
Yeah.
You know, it can be fun to just be a dick about it, but fucking come on. You've been dragging women since the dawn of time. Like you get a thicker skin.
Yeah.
I just have so little time and so little patience, but I try to have more patience because there are people who are willing to have these conversations.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, I love dick, but I want the dick I love to be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of like feminism for me.
That answers what is feminism.
It's gotten harder for me. Men don't approach me.
Yeah.
I mean, well, no, I guess like occasionally, but in general.
Men that know you or men that don't know you?
Men that have heard me say words.
Yeah. Men that have seen you perform or that have read some of your stuff or have seen or know of you.
Yeah. But even like just generally, they don't. But I think that's maybe just symptomatic of people like not approaching each other in general as much anymore.
Yeah, because people are, actually, that's interesting. I'd love to talk to you about this. I feel like there's a few reasons why people don't talk to people anymore, but generally why men don't approach women anymore. One is because we're like addicted to our phones and we're scared of
intimacy.
We're just saying hi to somebody in public using your face and your mouth and not. And so also people are there. There's a fear of rejection, and usually people are using apps. They know that the person that they're talking to is available for dating, right? Because they're on the app.
No, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying, but it's also not the end of the world if someone says no. But I also think there's this thing happening with sort of what I'm going to call, for lack of a better word, like hyperfeminists that are at this, basically women that are just like not into, they just don't want men to look at them or talk to them.
I would like to challenge your use of the word hyperfeminist.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I think those are just women who have had enough.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. That's why I said for lack of better word, because I don't actually know what to call it.
Right.
It's basically, no, that's women that just don't want men to look at them.
Yeah.
Because they've been discriminated against and fucking just had
creeped on
and dealt a shitty hand over and over and over again by men.
Yeah.
I understand that there are some women like that. I do a lot of research on the internet and I like try to help young men like navigate the world of dating in person. And what I think is happening is some of these men are just like terrified of approaching women because they don't know what kind of woman they're approaching.
I read your article about how to approach a woman or whether to approach
a woman. And for the most part, don't.
Yeah.
But if you really have to, you know, do it, this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, like, how are men supposed to navigate the fact that there are some women that just like are not down at all?
God, I think honestly that they should teach nuance and body language in school, because that's such a huge part of it. Like if people were tuned in to body language more, that would cut out half of the work that people are having to do. Because like, I think it's fairly easy to know if somebody is open to being approached, and even all you have to do is say hi and then you'll get an idea basically immediately.
Yeah. And if someone looks at you with an expression of get out of my fucking face, it's
get
okay.
Just
get out
face.
Of their face. And it's okay that you went and said hi to someone who just doesn't fucking want to see you.
Right. Because like I get people talking to me in public for sure. Like men don't, I don't get like propositioned very much.
For what?
Well, just like, hey.
Yeah, okay. You're like flirted with.
And yeah. Like, but I mean, it's more like if somebody speaks to me, I have no problem with a man being like, I am making an observation about the world around us. And then I'll either respond or I'll just be like, yeah. And then I'll get on with my day. And that's the point where you really have to, because there's no, like, I don't think it's a crime as long as somebody's like clearly like, don't fucking take somebody's headphones out. Don't, if they're clearly busy, fuck off.
Yeah. Well, don't touch anybody
or touch their things. Right. But if you say a thing and the other person is not reciprocating, then that's
it.
You know,
I mean, that's what I teach people. It's funny. I teach that shared observation,
right?
Shared context. If you and I are standing at a bus stop and someone trips and fucking their coffee goes flying, I'm going to be like, that guy is going to have a shitty day. And if you say something, then perhaps that's an opening for a conversation. And if you just look at me and give me a smug little, then conversation over.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to apologize for like wanting to have attempted to connect with another human being.
No. And that's fine. But it's like, My issue comes when I'm doing like several times and people aren't getting it.
Yeah. Well, so what's the advice to young men that are like terrified of approaching women because they think they're going to get their head bit off?
calm the fuck down and stop being a drama queen.
That's a good one.
You stop being so fucking fatalistic, chill the fuck out, and stop feeling attacked by our, you know, by people just wanting to live their life. That's the thing that's like, it's like crazy about this. It's like, oh my God, I can't even approach. You know what? So fucking what?
Yeah.
Like, that's how the world generally, like, people just kind of like go about their day. Yeah. That's kind of just how society works.
Yeah.
Okay. Society does not exist for you to be able to jump into somebody's day at your fucking, you know, at your whim. Okay. Yeah. So calm down.
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down. I don't know. I mean, it's like, just read the room, man.
Read the room.
Read the fucking room. Okay.
Yeah.
Like eye contact.
Arms crossed, headphones in, looking away. That's a no-go.
That's a no-go. Have some fucking self-awareness.
But the problem is that have some self-awareness. Read the room. Understand nuance and body language. Like, it's some people just need more concrete things. Because not everyone's socially adept.
Right. So I guess I would say take some time and actually study.
Yeah.
Read up on body language.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty, like, most people behave in the same ways.
Yeah. We're humans.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just there's the whole internet. And more importantly, talk to your female friends.
Yeah.
If you don't have female friends, ask yourself why.
Maybe get a female friend.
Don't try to sleep with her. Ask the women in your life. Don't ask some man on the internet how women work. Ask women.
Right.
Talk to women.
Yeah.
Like, that you know, not strangers.
Yeah, well, I was doing some research on pickup artists, because I went to, like, a pickup artist seminar, and it was worse than I could have ever imagined. Here in Montreal, it was so bad. I read this blog where this guy was saying, you know, if you want to catch a deer, don't ask the deer, ask the hunter.
What?
You get it? So, like, if you want to pick up on women, don't ask women, ask men how to pick up on women. Because, which we all know is, this is not good advice. This is bad advice. If you want to know how, like you said, ask your female friends.
Right.
Does this work? What am I doing wrong? How can I be more in tune, more socially adept?
Right. And I mean, I'm sure that some of that pickup stuff works. But the trouble is, like, even it, like, You don't want to pick somebody up via coercion. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, or manipulation.
Because there are definitely times where I have felt pressured into talking to men, and like, that's not hot. I'm not hot for that.
It's not a good foundation.
No.
For building intimacy.
Yeah.
But some people don't care about intimacy. They want to have sex. They just want to get their dick wet. That's it. They don't care how they do it. I know.
Such a hack move.
I know.
I'm just so over it. I'm just so like.
A hack move. God. I love that.
It's just like.
It's on. A hack move.
And I mean, I say that as having had, like, you know, enough sex to last me a lifetime. But like, still, it's just like, come on. Like, wouldn't that get tiresome? Like, have you been that guy?
I've never had to use hack moves to have sex.
No. But I mean, in terms of like clearly now you're like, you know what I mean? You're in your 30s. Like, you've seen some things, you've been in some relationships. You're clearly interested in like bettering yourself as a person and like developing real relationships and treating women well. But I mean, was this born of a different time in your life when you just wanted to get your dick wet?
I mean, I've always wanted to have sex.
Yeah, but we all want to fuck.
I've always wanted to fuck, but I never wanted to. I don't.
Like, did you see it as a commodity?
I mean, it's always something that I've had a lot of, but I always wanted to be fun and playful. Yeah. Right. And I always wanted to include the other person. I know it's weird. I never wanted to be something that I like took from somebody, you know, in terms of like, I'm just going to take pleasure from this person.
God, that statement, I wish more men thought about that, and not just about sex, but about every relationship and every interaction with women.
Yeah.
So much of it for me has been just people taking things from me. I can't help but think that despite the fact that certain people take things, like, it only makes them emptier.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, that's, it's a very good
I mean, also not to say that I haven't had sex with people that I didn't want anything but sex from, but we both wanted the same thing.
Right.
I mean, and also to say there probably were some situations where I wanted sex and they might have wanted more, but we were still both into it. Like, we knew what we were getting ourselves into.
No, I mean, it's uncommon to be on the exact same page as anybody that you're with, especially at the start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, on a very basic level, it's like, okay, we both want to fuck, but then there are other variables.
Yeah.
You know? I think everybody needs to just listen. I think we need, if everybody listens more, we all might get our dicks wet a little bit more often.
Yeah.
I think.
And no more small talk.
No more small, I mean, fuck.
I do like that because it implies that we're going to be more intimate.
Yeah. Oh God, more intimacy. I just feel like it's such a huge, I mean, but then I'm going to go off on a tangent. If we start talking about intimacy,
I'm down.
Like, it's a problem. It's a problem. I tend to blame myself when relationships don't work or for not meeting people. But I think that we just have a big deficiency in intimacy in general. And it's exhausting and it's sad and it's lonely and it's isolating.
Why is it happening?
Well, technology, like number one, that's why.
You answered that really quickly.
Yeah. I've thought about it.
Yeah.
Because it's just so easy. It's so easy to exist. And it's so easy to... And it's not that online life is part of real life, but there's a whole generation of people now who... Because at least we, when we were younger, had to learn intimacy.
Yeah.
Right? So we have that knowledge within us somewhere. And
we know how to do it.
We know how to do it. And I mean, I value it. And I think you do too. Yeah. And there are people who value it. But I think that now people are so deeply uncomfortable with silence, with closeness, with touch, with reality, with being real.
Yeah.
Because everything is so filtered now. And people are extremely uncomfortable to have any kind of unpolished interaction.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite kind of sex is with the lights on where I'm actually looking into your eyes.
I like that too, but not with the lights on because I have body issues.
Right. Okay. So like candle or something.
Headlamp.
A headlamp. Nice. Red with the red light or
I
the
look
regular.
Good in any light. It doesn't matter. My face.
Yeah. Don't look down. But that's the problem with the headlamp, because if you want to go look at some vagina action, vulva action.
You're good.
Yeah. You need to look down and then you might see a stomach. God forbid.
I know. One day. But yeah, no. And I agree. Eye contact during sex.
It's really vulnerable though.
But it's the best.
No, I know. It's good, but it's also really scary because you're really looking. You're like looking into somebody and you're not. There's no shade.
See, I'm like, don't look down. Don't look down. Just like holding their head on my head.
Yeah. It's sweet. But it's scary. I mean, that's the thing. That's why people are scared of intimacy, because it's real.
I don't find it scary. I don't find that particular thing scary. I don't know why.
I think because you're a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think women are better at intimacy than men. I mean, that's the role, right? Is like raising of the children, there's going to be more like of a nurturing role.
That is our purported role.
Yeah. It's a good role. I mean, you know, when we're talking about masculinity, it would be nice if men could have more feminine qualities. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. I meant to get to this point earlier and then we went off on a tangent.
I know. That's why I brought it back.
Okay. So this is what I think is happening. And this is why I don't meet people. I think it's because of these roles, right? Like we're taught what our jobs are from the moment that we're born.
Yeah.
And, I explained this to, I had a friend of mine, I was explaining, we were having a discussion about feminism and he was asking some really good questions. And I think that because men feel it's their role to have the power in the relationship.
Yeah.
And to have some semblance of control or to be the protector or whatever. And it's like when a woman comes into it and is able to protect herself and is able to not only be as strong, but stronger, that takes away his job.
Yeah. Just find another job.
Yeah, there's lots of jobs.
Yeah, there's plenty of jobs. You don't have to have those jobs.
Right.
Or just share the jobs.
I would imagine that that is terrifying. The thought of losing your purpose, I can sympathize.
Yeah.
But then when both people can take care of themselves, then you can have an actual partnership.
Yeah.
This whole idea of like somebody completing you is just like, it's just That's so bullshit. Sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
You're a half person.
Right. Right.
You're a half person who can't really take care of yourself until you meet the other half.
Right.
Also, that's a lot of pressure.
Right.
On the, you know, now I have to save you.
And that's the thing. When you view it like that, or when you haven't developed the emotional self-sufficiency to really be strong in that way, then your whole relationship is about saving each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's what my marriage, that's what a lot of it was.
Yeah.
Because neither of us were strong enough to just exist. You know what I mean?
I mean, you were young too.
I mean, he wasn't.
Oh, okay.
He was quite a bit older.
I kind of made an assumption there, and obviously I was wrong.
Yeah. Like older man.
You heard it here, yeah. Ellie likes the older man.
When you have that foundation of confidence and strength and emotional well-being, that's when you can get into like the actual good stuff of being in a relationship.
Yeah, that sounds like a more interesting partnership.
Right.
When because you have two whole people coming together.
Well, because you're not just constantly fucking like patching up holes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got this solid foundation. You're two separate entities. Yeah. And then you can actually build something.
Yeah. Whole beings.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's really shitty that people are still viewing things in terms of having roles or completing each other, you know what I mean? Or it being some sort of puzzle. The puzzle is figuring yourself out.
Yeah.
And then you do the relationship.
Yeah. And also learning how to build intimacy with another person.
Right.
Because everybody's different. They come from different backgrounds, different role models.
Definitely.
We also have to learn, you know, our languages and how to.
Of course.
Do that.
Of course. And you can become a better person through being with somebody else, but you can't base your identity on being with somebody else.
Yeah.
Which is what I felt and believed for a really long time.
I did that. I did that in a relationship.
Right.
And when that relationship ended, it was devastating.
That's the thing. Because you don't have that foundation. You know what I mean? I've had some breakups over the last few years. And it's like, no matter what happens, I know that I will be fine because I have that foundation. It's easy to become codependent, I think.
I mean, that's the beauty about being single and confident, is that this is the baseline.
Right.
If a relationship doesn't work, I'm always going to come back to this and be like, I did that fine for like 8 years now. I can do it fine for another 8 or more.
Right. And it's not, it's also, I think, about not viewing it as waiting or like, this is life.
We're doing life.
We're doing
you life. You and me right now are doing a full life.
Right. And it's so sad that it took me until the last few years to really feel that way, because I totally felt incomplete without being in a relationship or without validation or attention from men. And now it's like, I genuinely feel like I do have a full life.
Yeah.
And then, and then I guess it's like, and it's funny because now it's like, oh God, like could I even work somebody into my life? And
I think the same thing. Like, am I going to have to go spend the night at their house? Do I bring the dog? What?
How do you
incorporate them? How do you fold them in?
Right. And this is part of what's hard for, like, I'm not good at the start of relationships because it's so stressful figuring, like, for me, I just want to meet someone and then just be like, okay, we're doing it. And then just get her done.
Okay.
And
let's move into a thing together.
Right. Because I don't have time. I don't have time for all that. All that. It's exhausting. Starting a relationship is, it's fun.
It's fun. I have the same feelings, but I also have faith that when I do meet somebody that like, and it's.
Oh, you're going to want to put that effort
in. It'll fall into place. It'll work itself out.
Of course.
It'll work itself out. It's like when I got the dog, I kept on going to the SPCA and I just didn't think I was ready to get a dog. And I met this woman there who wasn't working there. She was just also looking at the dogs. We were window shopping.
Yeah.
She didn't even need a dog. She likes to go there and look at dogs. And I found myself talking to her and I said, you know, I just don't think I'm ready. And she's like, just get the fucking dog and you'll
work it out.
You'll work it out. And I did. I got the dog and I worked it out.
Yes.
And it was a huge fucking adjustment period. It was, but now it's fine.
You don't know what you're capable of until you are forced to do it.
That's right.
That is like my philosophy. And I learned that through motherhood and everything though.
Yeah.
Everything, every job I've been given, I'm always like, ooh,
fuck.
But then you do it. And this is why people are so afraid of relationships. They're so afraid. They're so cautious. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you waiting for? What is the worst that can happen?
It doesn't work.
Okay, most things don't.
I'm sad.
Right. That's a risk. like what other risks have there ever been in relationships?
Like, well, for love, I'm willing to risk it. Like I'm willing for you to just stomp on my little heart, which I know is very resilient and will bounce back. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Like you cannot kill my heart.
No.
You can severely damage it.
Yeah.
But it'll bounce back. And for that, like for love, I'm totally willing to do it. That being said, you know, I'm way pickier now to who I present the heart to.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Same thing. But it's exhausting to me how many people are afraid. And I think it's because my worst case scenario happened and I'm still standing.
Which was divorce?
Which was, at the time.
Yeah.
Which now it's like, whatever.
Well, a divorce. I mean, Americans are doing it three times in a row. Yeah,
no, but losing that, walking away from what I thought was like the apex of life.
Yeah. At some tender age.
Yeah.
Was not the apex of life. I mean, I think the apex keeps moving.
Oh my God. My life is so much better than I ever could have imagined. It could be.
Yeah.
I've been alone, essentially. I've been in a couple relationships.
I think we have a very similar story, minus the whole divorce, having a kid thing.
Yeah. In any relationship I've had since my marriage, I wasn't particularly supported. Like, I don't view them as, well, maybe one of them. But yeah, but I mean, I feel like I've been alone emotionally, like really and truly. I've been alone for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's been great.
Yeah. I mean, this could be our parting message to single people out there. I know I went to your show and you're like, hey, where are all the single people? There was like none. Here we are. We're finally all gathered in this one room.
Yeah, all two of us.
All two of us. And Roger's also single. The message is just, for me, the message is just like, you know, find out do what it takes to love yourself. And do the work, you know, do the work.
Do the work.
Yeah, do the work of increasing your emotional intelligence, of, you know, whatever the work is.
Yeah, don't try to be cool about it. If you do the work and put yourself in uncomfortable situations, you're going to be happier.
Yeah.
God, I spent most of my life unhappy and I didn't think I could be. And now I am. And I wish I had given myself that freedom sooner.
Do the work.
Do the fucking work.
You know what? We're just going to wrap it up here. Right here, because A, my battery's dying, and B, we, you know, I was always taught to end on a high note, right?
I agree.
Yeah. And also, we're just going to have you back to talk about just pure sex. Oh. Ellie, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Oh, yeah. What are your social media?
Twitter, @TheBettyDick.
Nice.
Instagram, Betty Dick.
Betty, no the.
I don't think. Well, it's look it up.
Look it up. Just type in Betty Dick.
Yeah. I am the editor of the Golden Avocado website, which is a satire magazine called thegoldenavocado.com. And Facebook, Ellie McDonald, don't stalk me.
Ooh, yeah.
But do a little.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
The Love Drive is produced by me, Sean Galanos, with the help of Guilford Street Studios, which is actually just what I'm calling my studio apartment. You can find more information about me or The Love Drive by going online at thelovedrive.com. If you like the show, then I have a favor to ask you. It would mean the world to me if you could go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. The more people like you that subscribe, the easier it'll be for new listeners to find the show. This means a lot to a small self-produced podcast like this one because I just don't have the marketing or operating budget to compete against the larger shows. So if you like the show, then subscribe and tell a friend. Short of sending me cold hard cash in the mail, it's the most powerful thing you can do right now to help me out, and it should take about 15 seconds. And please stick around. I have some amazing interviews coming up for you all. Thanks again, and see you next time.